glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, June 20th, 2025. You're in for a real treat. And every few years, I love to come back to this broadcast. It's from about 5 or 6 years ago with my good friend Herb, the radio servant Ketchum. He's volunteered with the radio ministry over 25 years, retired now, and not as active in the radio ministry aside from lots of great prayer and words of encouragement, living in a care facility in the Danville, Illinois area. I love this man of God, and God has raised him up to assist so much of this radio ministry and so many people. So here's what I was calling a Testimony Tuesday program as Herb shares some of his life journey and the ragman story. We'll pick up the conversation where we had just mentioned that he's been volunteering and helping this radio ministry for just about 25 years. Enjoy the re-airing of Testimony Tuesday with Herb, the radio servant Ketchum. Why don't we, as a form of Testimony Tuesday, take us right into that first time where God had you going into a prison. Walk us through that. I think we're going to talk about the ragman story, which is something you share in prison.
Yes.
And we'll see if we have time to fill in some of the other testimony on Herb came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Mark, for having me on the program here. Let me just give you a brief summary of what I've done quite some time ago. I attended a religious retreat in Bloomington, and it was called Walk to Emmaus.
And that's probably 25, 30 years ago? So something like, because when you say a long time ago.
You're working on me again, aren't you? No, it was quite some time. In fact, it was
late 80s?
It was the very, very first part of the 90s.
Okay.
1990s.
Okay.
It involved 3 days of very special, very spiritual study. And I come home after that 3-day period of time, and I'm serious. I felt like I was walking a foot off the ground. I was so enlightened by what I had been shown.
And this is into your newfound faith following the Lord Jesus Christ.
It was about 4 months.
See, yesterday we talked about in Urbana 93, so in the late 80s, when you were a fireman, and you mentioned, I don't think you even defined your addiction, but it was alcohol, right?
Yes.
You said you were in the late 80s, you came to Christ.
Yes.
You were introduced, and so this is early 90s.
See, my conversion was October 16th, 1989.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
89.
A date. That's my new birthday. It really is. When I come to know Christ, really, for the very first time. One Sunday, our pastor came to Marge and I and said, I know about this religious retreat. Would you guys be interested in going?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, absolutely, I would like to. Then she started explaining to me that the men went for 1 weekend, and 2 weeks later, the women went.
Mm-hmm.
The same program.
And this is the Walk to Emmaus? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I went, and that's a time that I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
But walking from the building that we were in with my pastor to her car, one of the men, one of the team members on that weekend, come running up behind me and said, Herb, wait a minute. Would you like to be on one of these teams? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to, but I said, the rules say I have to wait 6 months before I can be on a team. He said, well, this is a little different. And I said, what do you mean how it's different? He said, well, we're working up a team to go into Logan Correctional Center. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You just sent chills up my spine. Oh, I can't do that. So don't ever ask me again, because it scares me that bad.
Mm.
This man said, well, I won't until I see you again. This went on for 5 years. Yes. And one evening, I got a call from a stranger I never met before. He introduced himself and he said, "I'm starting up an Emmaus team. Would you care to be on the team?" And I said, "When is it?" And he told me. And I said, "Absolutely. I'd be glad to be honored." And we talked a little further and I said, "Wait a minute, Kenny. Where's this going to be held?" And he said, "Taylorville Prison." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute, Kenny. You just hit a bad spot. I can't do this." He said, "Why?" I said, "Kenny, just the question scares me so bad that it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand straight up." And he said, "Look, Herb, this is God's work." He said, "I'm going to let you pray about it, think about it, and pray about it. And I'm going to call you in 3 days, and I want your answer." Hmm. "I want your definite answer." I said, "Okay, Kenny, but I know what it's going to be." Anyway, he hung up, and I did too. I prayed about this and kept going, thinking about it. And you know, about the second day, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Herb, it's time. It's time that you went into prison with this ministry." And so when Kenny called, I said, "Okay, Kenny, but I'll tell you right now, I'm scared to death." Hmm. I am absolutely scared to death. I'm not scared of the inmates, and they're the ones that could hurt me. I'm scared of those steel doors that slam behind me. Hmm. And you know, I'll never forget the first time I stepped into that prison. There was 18 of us on the team, and we all had to go in individually to be security checked. And I remember when I went in and that first steel door slammed behind me and I spun around and I inhaled deeply to scream, "Let me out of here!" But you know, before I could let a sound out, there was somebody tapped me on the shoulder very gently, and I released the air in my lungs and I turned around to see who it was, my teammates, that was there.
Giving you that comforting touch.
Yes. I turned around. There was no one there. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was Jesus. Because Scripture tells us, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Mm-hmm. And he was with me. Now, that was the beginning of a 20-some year ministry. But I'll tell you, to be quite honest with you, every time I go into a prison, the first steel door that slams behind me, there is something in my throat that jumps.
Right.
That, you know, I'm still afraid of them. Mm-hmm. I'm still afraid of them.
But what's so wonderful and unique and special, and thank you, God, that you push through the fear because you know the higher calling that he wants you in there. And I share this with everyone because... Yes, just because God's calling you to do something doesn't mean it's going to just be rosy and wonderful.
Right.
And we all finish singing Kumbaya and great. There still might be that tension of, "Lord, I'm not comfortable. I don't really like this, but I'm doing it because of you." And he's used you in many ways these many years.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Mark, I'd like to introduce you to part of a message that I gave in prison that touched so many men and turned their lives around. Mm-hmm. Just hearing the story. And yes, it's called The Rag Man, because it may touch somebody out there in Radioland just as it touched me and touched those who were incarcerated. This is The Rag Man story. You know, each and every one of us has an imagination. Every one of us. You've got an imagination. So please, lean back, close your eyes, and just let me paint this picture for you.
Now, if you're driving on the road, pull over to the side,
yeah,
or
please
listen to the re-airing in the evening or on the archive program's link so you can get the whole imagery and story.
Exactly. Let me paint the picture for you. All of us here in Illinois, I know at one time or another, have been in some of the back streets of Chicago. And it's not real good. To be honest with you, it's not real good. The same thing is true in San Francisco. And that's where this story took place. You see, I was there in San Francisco, and it was very early one morning. In fact, it was about 3:30 in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. So I got up and got dressed, and I walked out the front door of this hotel. And I started walking down the street, and suddenly I started hearing something I'd never heard before. And I turned around to see a young man. He was big. He looked like he could have been a football player. But he had a leather jacket on, and he was pulling a two-wheel cart filled with, well, it was clean rags. The street lights were bright enough. I could tell these weren't dirty clothes. These were clean clothes. And he was yelling out, "Rags! Rags for sale! Let me have your old dirty rags, and I'll give you clean ones." And he kept yelling that as he walked down the street pulling this cart. And I thought, good gracious, I've never heard anything like this in my life. So as he walked down the street saying this over and over again, "Rags, rags for sale, give me your old rags and your troubles, and I'll give you fresh, clean rags." And he kept repeating that. And I thought, I'm going to follow this guy. I've never heard this before. I'm going to follow him. I want to see where he's going and what happens. So I, about 40 feet behind him, and I'm listening to him. I'm watching him. And like I said, it's dark. It's very dark, except for all these street lights. That's important, these street lights. Pretty soon, this young man came to a young lady sitting on the front steps of a hotel, and she's crying her eyes out. And he stops, and he goes over to her, and he says, "Young lady, what's your troubles?" And she kind of dried her eyes a little bit, and she said, "I need a mate. I need a husband. I'm looking so desperately for a husband." But she said, "You know, all the men that I've been with, all they want to do is have sex, and then they kick me out. And it has broken my heart." And the rag man said, "Here, take this clean rag, and you give me your troubled heart." And she looked at him. She did not understand what he was saying. But she said, "Okay," and she reached out and she took a hold of this clean rag that he offered to her. And then to my total amazement, something happened I couldn't hardly believe. She suddenly stood up. No more tears on her face. Her eyes were bright, shiny. No more sadness. She had a future now. And I looked and I turned to look at the rag man, and he had tears running down his face. And he was so sad. He had taken on her sadness, but he had given her life, given her hope for a good future. And he started on down the street, and I was following him and I was watching him. And he was crying. He was crying as he went along. "Rags, rags," he said. "Rags, clean rags for your dirty rags and your troubles." And his voice has changed now because he was crying. And suddenly he ran across a young man in uniform, staggering down the street. He was intoxicated. He was drunk. And he stopped the young man and he said, "What's your troubles?" And the young soldier said, and he leaned up against a light pole there in the street to balance himself. And he said, "I'm an alcoholic. I've got an addiction that I can't get away from. And I can't stop it. And that's my troubles." And the rag man said, "Look, you take this rag, this clean rag that I'm going to give you, and you give me your addiction." And this young soldier looked at him like, "What are you talking about? I've never heard anything like this." And I had neither. But the young soldier reached out anyway, just in curiosity. He took a hold of the rag that the ragman offered. And then my eyes was astonished once again, to the point my mouth dropped open, because the soldier suddenly stood erect as if he was standing at attention. But I looked at his face and his eyes were bright. He had a wonderful, beautiful smile on his face. He was different. He was changed in an instant. And I looked at the ragman who was starting down the street, pulling this cart, and he was staggering, and he could hardly talk. But the soldier was healed. The ragman started saying, "Rags, rags, clean rags for your dirty ones. Give me your troubles and I'll give you a clean rag." And he kept repeating it as he staggered down the street pulling this two-wheel cart. Suddenly, I'm still following him, and the ragman said, "Wait a minute, there's a man over here on the side. He's leaning against a light pole on the street, and he's looking down very sadly." And the ragman said, "What is your troubles?" And the man looked up, and he stood up straight, and he took his right hand, took his jacket, and his left jacket arm was empty. He said to the ragman, "You see, I only have one hand. I only have one arm, and nobody wants to hire me so I can make a living for myself and my family. That's my troubles." The ragman said, "Wait a minute. Give me your jacket, and I will give you mine." And with that statement, once again, this one-armed man looked at him like, "Are you crazy?" But they stood there and looked at each other for a while, and pretty soon said, "Okay, I'll switch jackets with you." And they both had, it looked like motorcycle jackets to me. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. But the ragman took his jacket off, and he slipped one of these clean rags in the pocket. And the one-armed man took his jacket off, and he gave it to the ragman. Now, the one-armed man put the jacket on, and the ragman put the one-armed man's jacket on himself. And once again, I stood there in awe, because this man, standing on the street, on the street corner, he looked down at his hands. He had two hands. He had two arms now, and he never had before. And I thought to myself, this can't be. This can't happen, but it did. And he was so happy. I seen his face. The happiness in his eyes was unbelievable. And he was laughing loudly that he now had two hands, two arms. He could work and make money for his family. And I suddenly turned and looked at the ragman. And he started pulling the cart with the one arm that he had. He now only had one arm. He started staggering down the street. And he was continuing to say, "Rags, rags for sale. Rags for your dirty rags, rags for your troubles." And he started down the street once again, and I'm still following behind him. And all of a sudden, he started speeding up. And it amazed me, because I was barely able to keep up with him. He was walking so fast with the cart, pulling with one arm. And suddenly, we came to a cemetery at the edge of town. And in the middle of this cemetery was a knoll, a hill. And this ragman went into the cemetery, and he was struggling to get the cart up the hill. So I ran up, and I pushed on the cart to help him up the hill. We got to the top of the hill, and the ragman put the cart handle down, and he got on his knees, and he looked up, and he said, "Father, I have done what you ask. Can I come home?" Then the sound came, and I have no idea where it came from, but the sound said, "You've done a fine job, son. I missed you. Now come home." And I looked around. I looked all around to see who said that. There was nobody else but just the rag man in his cart and myself there. And I looked to the eastern sky, and the sun was just barely peeping over the eastern sky. And I looked back at the rag man and his cart, and folks, it wasn't there. I was alone on the top of this hill in the cemetery. And I come to realize what I had been watching and witnessing. It was Jesus Christ himself doing this for people. And that's the story of the rag man. But let me just add this one tidbit. If you remember back in the picture that I painted for you, you remember the alcoholic soldier on the street? You remember me telling you that? That man had a name. And his name was Herb. Herb Ketchum. Yes, it was me. It was my story. Christ has saved me from my addiction to alcohol. And before I close, let me tell you this one thing. He can do that for you. He can do that for each one of us if we'll just ask him in faith. He will take your troubles away from you. And he will give you peace and joy that you've never experienced before. But just ask. Ask the rag man to give you a clean cloth for your dirty one.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus.